All right, everyone, welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock, and this is our Friday betting show. We make picks against the spread. I am joined by none other than Chris Raybon from the Action Network. I've been on a bunch of your podcasts. I think we do the Fantasy Flex like twice a year, but this is your first time coming on my podcast, so I really, really appreciate the time. Every time someone is willing to give up time on their Friday to come on to this podcast, I am so grateful for it.
Oh, nah, man. Davis, thanks for having me. You know, we go back to when DFS was not as big in this industry to when...
No, we've been grinding this for a long time, buddy.
Yeah, man. So I'm happy to come on, and let's get to it. Let's get this money.
All right. So the format of this Friday show, very simple. We are making, we're just making picks against the spread, going from our least confident to our most confident pick. And, this is a true story. My most confident pick every 4 of the 6 weeks has been the Arizona Cardinals. And, spoiler alert, it's also going to be my most confident pick this week, but I will go ahead and get things started. Fifth most confident for me is San Francisco -9.5 over Washington. And for me, this one's pretty simple, which is that most teams, when they go into that shell, you know, they're up 10 points, they're up 2 touchdowns. It's kind of hard for them to score. Cause when you think about the teams that are really great on offense, we're thinking the Rams, we're thinking the Chiefs, we're thinking the Patriots. Those teams actually kind of suck at running the ball. They're actually pretty bad at it. So those teams are kind of vulnerable up 10 points or 14 points. That is not true with the San Francisco 49ers. If they're up 10 points on this Washington team, they're probably going to score, and they're definitely just going to grind that Washington defense. It just is straight up into a pulp. This one seemed like if this was like 7, it would be probably like my second most confident, but 9.5 is a pretty good number, I think, for San Francisco against Washington.
Yeah, you make a good point about like it just being hard to cover this number, because this is something we've actually talked about on the Action Network betting podcast. But underdogs by 9 to 10, according to BetWebs, going all the way back to 2003, and it's not a very popular number, to be honest. But underdogs have covered that 38 of 45 times. That's just absurd, and I think that's a good reason why. So hopefully the 49ers come through for you. I don't think I'm going to touch that game. For the first game that I'm picking, I'm going with the New Orleans Saints +3.
I love this one against
the Chicago Bears. And here's why. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about who's playing, who's not playing for the Saints offense, and kind of thinking about it from the lens.
Yeah, but who cares though?
Right. It's because the Bears offense has problems. I mean, their offensive line, they just put Kyle Long on IR. They're the worst run blocking team in the league. Their running backs are averaging under 3 yards a carry. The Saints have a number of people on the defensive line, Davenport, Rankins, Jordan, who can give them problems. And usually during a bye, you get this stuff corrected, but they're getting injured. Their line is not cohesive. Teddy Bridgewater always gets underrated. Sean Payton always gets underrated in these spots. Payton has now 29-21 on the road as an underdog. Teddy Bridgewater overall against the spread is 27-7. So this is a spot where I think the market is going to be able to sleep on the New Orleans Saints because they're going on the road.
One of my like biggest things overall is I really don't like to bet on bad quarterbacks, and I really don't like to bet on bad coaches. And I do really like to bet on good coaches and good quarterbacks. And I think if you just took all of the noise outs, you know, like you weren't even looking at like DVOA for these teams. You weren't even looking at expected points. You were just saying, okay, who has the better quarterback and by how much? I think that there is you could at least come close to 50-50. Maybe you wouldn't beat the rake betting that way, but I think you could get pretty close. And this is a situation to me where New Orleans probably has the advantage at quarterback and for sure at coaching. So I totally agree with you. And also another thing is I don't really care about home road, and that stuff definitely does influence lines, but isn't it like home teams this year have like a losing record, and it's like one of the first times in NFL history that has been the case.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. First, I think that whole thing about the 3-point home field advantage is somewhat of a lie. I really think it's more like 2.5, and then books want you to think it's 3, so you bet on the favorites too much. But also, you know, it factors in sometimes more than others. If you have a bad offensive line, it's a little easier at home because those big guys don't have to travel. They get more calls. It's easier to not get calls at home because you can do things with your protections. But, yeah, like you mentioned, the Saints don't really have any of these issues. And guess what? They've lost four times since the start of last, including the postseason, since the start of last year. One of those was the blown call. One of those was week 17 last year. And one of those was the game that Drew Brees went out this year. That's it. That's the only times they've lost since the start of last year.
Yeah, they are really good, and I the Bears just aren't, right? The Bears are just not a very good team, and I think again, like, you know, I've actually heard this too, that that kind of like old school bettors tend to do better in they tend to do better in NFL than they do in NBA and baseball, because there's just a little bit more that you know, just doesn't quite get in the modeling that is for the other one. So I think things are sort of similar. It's like, the Saints just are not going to lose to the Bears. They're just not going to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's especially this time of the year. There are, I think, what trips people up more than, you know, being able to be amazing with models and numbers and stuff is, like, you have these groups of people. Like, you have the regular public that's going to be too recency biased and not know how to incorporate enough information, and they're just going to go on last week.
Right.
You have these, like, quote unquote sharp bettors, or at least big money bettors, people that have been doing this, but they're kind of stubborn. They're like overly stubborn in there now. Like, oh, well, I have this team 1 point rated better, and so based on my thing, it's like, well, yeah, that's cool. But if you were also wrong about the three other teams they played this year, then your whole strength of schedule is like, you know what I mean? So it's like, this is a good time of year to kind of just go with what you know and not try to pay too much attention, like following it too hard one way with like the sharp money, or following it too hard with like the models. Like, just go with what you know, make sure it makes sense, and then I think you'll have a lot of success at this time of year.
Yeah, I think all of that is pretty reasonable. Okay, my number four selection, I'm actually curious what side of this you like, but it is Baltimore +3.5. So right now, the narrative with Lamar Jackson is that he crushes when he's ahead, and when the team trails, he just does not do as well. And I think that, one, just any kind of narratives about young quarterbacks, like what we've seen 14 games from Lamar now. So I don't really want to wager on narratives for a guy who I haven't seen a full season of. And two, I actually think Baltimore, which, and I never thought I'd say this about Harbaugh and his coaching staff, I actually think they are closer to calling optimal game plans than pretty much any other team with a running quarterback I've ever seen. They have like this great mix of knowing when to let Lamar run, knowing when to tell him to take shots, knowing when to start to give it to the running backs. And they've also started to rotate Justice Hill and Gus Edwards in. So they're not just giving, you know, Mark Ingram these horrible 3 yards and a cloud of dust carries. I think Baltimore can actually just win this game outright.
Yeah. I think all those things are true. Like, from a confidence standpoint, this is kind of a toss-up for me, because one of the things, and I talked to Stuckey about this because he's all over Baltimore, and, you know, I bet on Seattle against the Browns, and he thought it was the wrong move, and I thought it wasn't. But I think Russell Wilson, just in this equation, always
– yeah, he throws a massive wrench. Yeah.
And it's hard, because it's hard to model it, like, specifically down to,
You can't just put, like, the God equation into your model, right? Because that's what Russell Wilson is. It's just, like, he does – If any other quarterback, like, I think if Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, I think, are the only quarterbacks who could just overcome what Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer do every week.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, I think that Schottenheimer gets a little too much, like, he gets ridiculed a little too much, because the bottom line is, like, his whole career, he's been just given the worst quarterbacks. I mean, you're talking about Mark Sanchez, you're talking about Jeff Fisher and whoever they put out there, Sam Bradford, all those guys, like, and then last year, he has the worst offensive line. And they find a way to, like, run and pass and be successful enough. And now, like, now they're passing a lot more. So, like, I don't think he's, like, retarded when it comes to game planning and calling. I think there are things that they could do better. But the thing for me is that I think, like, with Marquise Brown out, it is going to be tougher.
It is harder for them to create space on offense without Marquise Brown, for sure.
So that's kind of why it's a toss-up for me, because Seattle's not as good as their 5-1 record indicates. But
definitely,
they're on read back. They play a lot of coverage on defense, so it's not like I don't think Lamar, like, he'll run, but it's like, can he complete those deep balls that really separate the Ravens and give them something to work with, like a lead to work with? Or is it going to be like one of those Pittsburgh games? Because then I don't know if, like, Seattle, you know, gives them that advantage of, like, going to overtime and blah blah blah, they could win. So, like, I think it's the right play at 3.5. At 3, I probably just stay away completely. So wait, we're up to number 4, right? I'm going at number 4 with, let's see, who we got here? Oh, yeah, I want to take the, do I want,
It is kind of a tough slate.
Yeah, like I have like definitely the four bets I made. I'm just trying to look in because there's another one that I'm kind of waiting on the lines for, see what they do. But you know what? I'm going to go number four with the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders, they're still
okay.
Because they're still at plus 4.5. And I think this is another one of these things where the Packers are clearly good on defense. We know that. On offense, they are good when they have all of their weapons healthy. When they are not, they are – you look at their success rates and their kind of metrics, and they're okay. They're going to be good at running the ball, but so are the Raiders. The Raiders are getting healthier on the O-line. They're getting healthier on defense. The only real issue they have right now is Tyrell Williams, but the Packers have the same amount of issues. And I think this kind of sets it up as a similar game to the Bears game where the Raiders, they're not going to – the pressure is not going to bother them as much because they set up to kind of avoid that anyway. Derek Carr hates pressure. So they get the ball out quick. They run the ball well. And this spread is still sitting at 5, 4.5. I think that those are dead numbers, as in you don't really care about where it is in those. Like, it's so – I like this at anything higher than, 3.5 or higher. If the Packers are getting more than a field goal, I don't think they should in this spot because I don't think this team at currently constructed, Aaron Rodgers not as good, is anything more than maybe a half point better than the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm in. And Aaron Rodgers playing with a bunch of backup wide receivers that he's just going to be pissed off at the whole game. You know, at least three times he's going to be yelling at Darius Shepherd or Jake Kumerov, like, they weren't in the right spot. I mean, honestly, I think if all these wide receivers weren't hurt, if Adams and MBS and Allison were all healthy, Darius Shepherd would have been cut after that drop. He would have gotten back to his locker after that game, and Rodgers would have just had him, had him packing the bags. It would have been a tough scene. I like that one a lot. The Raiders are better than 6 points worse than the Packers.
Wait, who's your guy? If they only had Jeff
Janis, bro.
Yeah, man. I knew it.
It's horrible. It's horrible watching all of these, like, just bad players, right? Like, just watching all of these stone bad players on all of these teams. Like Darius Shepherd is not good. Lazard's kind of interesting, but yeah, I do totally agree. I think Oakland 5.5 is definitely the right side of that game. It would not even surprise me if Oakland won, like, outright either.
Yeah, I have kind of a model that I use, to tell me when, like, money lines are a good bet, like, because most money lines, the value is going to be picking the underdog, so it's going to be less than a 50-50 bet anyway. So you're kind of trying to find out, like, when is the optimal time to still bet them. And, like, Oakland is essentially the number one team popping of, like, this is, like, the most likely underdog to win versus what the current money line is, like, the highest probability. So I might just jump on their money line because I think this line is going to kind of probably come down. And those are dead numbers anyway, like I mentioned. So I might jump on the money line.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Okay. My number three, this line seems crazy to me. The Los Angeles Chargers, either +2, +2.5, or +3. I see all three numbers right now across the board. I don't care. I think all of them. I mean, obviously, you'd want three, but I think it's fine at two over the Tennessee Titans. This is a team that scored 0 points last week, benched their quarterback who came in, continued the streak of scoring 0 points. I just, even against against another bad team, like, I don't – how are the Titans favored over anybody?
I think this is another one of those issues where it's these old school, like, bookmakers, sharps who – because everyone, like, to my surprise, people were not on the Broncos last week.
They were my number two last week, my number two most confident one.
I think that's smart because I, like – and don't get me wrong, I tweeted this out yesterday. Like, I'm 3-1 betting against the Broncos this year and 1-0 when I backed them that one time against the Titans. It's like, the Broncos tend to perform poorly. They're not really good on offense. Passing matters so much compared to just all the other things that go into what decides a game, like passing. It's more important than running. It's more important than run defense, all that. So, yeah, the Titans, they go last week. They get shut out, and everyone's kind of overrating the Broncos, and now everyone wants to bet on the Broncos against the Chiefs and blah, blah, blah. And as a result, because the Chargers also blew a game to the Broncos, now it's like this it's like effective. Like, well, the Chargers blew that game, then they blew the game to the Steelers and the Titans. Like, everyone's kind of lumping them in together when you're right. The Chargers are clearly the better team.
They're so much better. They're so much better. It's crazy. Like, even a bad Chargers team is better than a good Titans team.
Yeah, and it's a classic example of, like, the public, I don't think they want to touch the game because it's not getting a lot of bets. If you just look at, like, we have the amount of bets that each game is getting. It's not getting too many bets. But, like, Philip Rivers, this is the Chargers thing. They always blow it. They always blow it when they're a favorite. Like, they never win the games they're supposed to. They have no home field advantage. But when Rivers has been a road dog throughout his career, 34-20 against the spread. With three pushes. And then when they're a road underdog, the Philip Rivers, a road underdog, coming off at least one against the spread loss. So it could be one, it could be a streak of two or more. 21-6-1 against the spread. They are winning about 78 of those, 78%. So I don't think it's going to, like, unless you got like a book that's like charging a different juice, I don't know if it's really ever going to be a true three, like -110, because I think the books took too much. Like, they don't want to get middled because they opened at,
That's what it is at FanDuel. Yeah,
take the 2.5. I talked about this on the pod. It was actually my number one pick, and I said, yeah, if, like, I'm holding out for that 2.5, I don't think I'll get the 3, but the 2.5 I think is perfect, because I can't, at worst, let's say the Chargers blow it, I can't see them, like, not scoring a touchdown backdoor with a chance to tie with the 2-point conversion. I mean, they scored the last 17 against Pittsburgh. They just dug themselves in a hole because Philip Rivers wanted to throw the ball backwards to the running back he shouldn't be throwing to at all. So I like
that. Yeah. Yeah, all right, there we go. Okay, what's your number three?
Number three. So for number three, I am going to go with – okay, so here's it's an ugly one. It's a disgusting one, but it's one I already made. Didn't know if it was going to move the other way a little bit. It's kind of stayed where it is, but Miami +17 against Buffalo. Listen, Miami's bad.
I'm fine. Just like 17 points is too much in the NFL.
Too much. It's one thing to have 17. Like, let's say it was the Patriots and – the total was like 49 or something. Okay. But like, it's the Bills. The total is 40.5. It's just really difficult to like create that much separation and hold it throughout the game when it's a low scoring game. I mean, the Bills 12-4 to the under with Josh Allen at QB. So they're not a team that necessarily puts up a lot of points. And you look, they actually played a bunch of the worst teams in the NFL this year. Not quite as bad as Miami, granted, but the Giants, when they were at like peak Eli's last start, defense had given up 17 of 18 for like 400 yards to Dak Prescott, and they won 28-14. So they still won by 14. They beat the Bengals by 4. They beat Jets by 1. And so it's like the Bills are going to play the same type of game. They have nothing deep. They give up nothing, down the field, and you have to kind of manage Josh Allen, and he could always turn the ball over and give Miami free points. So
that's the big thing, is he's so turnover prone. I can't imagine laying 17 with him. Like, that's wild.
Yeah. So 16 plus underdogs, it's so rare that it's hard to even get a sample size for this, but they do cover more often than not, about 20-16 going back to 03. So, I mean, it's just one of those, it's a trend that I would expect to continue long-term because it's just too many points.
Yeah. All right. I'm very on board with that one. Okay. My number two, I had it pulled up right here. Oh, it is, Jacksonville either -3, -3.5 or -4. It's different at a bunch of different books. And just got to give all the numbers. I probably would go all the way to 5.5 on this one, I think. Cincinnati's bad. This is a true story. This is the worst year of Andy Dalton's career in terms of YPA. He's never been worse than he's been this year. I mean, rookie Andy Dalton, playoff Andy Dalton, he's never been worse than this sample of what we're seeing from him right now. The offensive line is horrible. They just suspended their left tackle for this game. So it's just like, it's just a bad, bad scene for Andy. And something I love to do is I love to get ahead of the market is way too arrogant, but like bet against teams that are on the way down and bet for teams that are on the way up, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals, listen, if this was a game where, like, first of all, they should suspend their entire offensive line, even the guys that have been playing, because they've been playing horribly. Second, like, this is a line where maybe you think about it if If they're healthy, if their left tackle is not suspended, and if they had any cornerbacks, because it was like Kirkpatrick's out, Jackson's out. I think they're starting Torrey McTyer, James, and some other guy. Like they're, I think it's B.W. Webb. Like they're starting complete replacement level corners at all three spots. And this Jags team has run in, and again, I think it goes back to people over and underrating other teams' opponents at this time of the year because we don't have a large enough sample size. It's like, oh well. You know, Jacksonville only put up 13 or scored 6 points against the Saints. And it's like, well, the Saints are actually pretty good and people are just underrating them. So, yeah, I think, you know, this is another one that not a lot of people are touching. So it's probably not going to balloon that high up. And I think the Jags are the right play in the game, given all the injuries to the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally on board with that. Okay. What's your number two?
We've got two left. Number two for me is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles plus three. Well, and see, the thing is, because now it's pretty much down to 2.5, 2.5 at like most spots. I got it at three. If you can still get it at three, I think it's the play till two actually, because all right, I'll put it this way. If home field is 3 points and you expect, you compare these two teams, like I would say that the Eagles are at least a point better than the Dallas Cowboys. Like they're just a better team. That's my opinion of the Eagles. They've kind of suffered through some injuries, but
you think that the Eagles are straight up a better team than Dallas?
Yeah, absolutely. Like without,
I can't possibly be objective about this. I honestly have no idea who is actually better. My supposition is probably that Dallas is better, but it might not matter because they are playing so poorly, like on purpose.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think, and here's the thing, like, all right, with preseason, like, I think the thought, the general consensus was Dallas was better. I mean, that Philly was better.
That Philly was better.
Yeah, right. Then they suffer this rash of injuries, which always seems to happen to them at cornerback, like for every year. Every year. But they also suffer this rash of injury at like pass catcher and whatever not. Meanwhile, everyone's like, hey, Dallas has this really easy schedule. And they did. They played Giants, Eli Giants. They played Miami and they played Washington. They struggled with Miami for half of that game. Washington, they pull away at the end. And then they lose to the Jets. So it's like, in my opinion, like I think what we thought in the preseason is actually correct. Dallas is better, the second best team in the NFC East, not the first. So I would have this as, you know, the Eagles better by a point, which means it should be a 2-point spread, but books always are going to open Dallas a little inflated because the public loves to bet on Dallas. However, so much sharp money came in on the Eagles. Right now it looks like it's up to 80. There's 85% of the money on the Eagles, despite only 69% of the bet tickets. So that essentially forced them to move it to 2.5 because the books, like, they almost never want to move a line off the key number of three, especially to 2.5 for a home favorite because the public is usually all over Dallas, but for whatever reason they're not. And I think it helps Dallas now that obviously it looks like people are going to play for them that were banged up, like Tyron Smith and Amari and those guys. But I still think the Eagles are a better team. They're getting healthier as well.
Yeah, I will not be betting this one, but I just don't. I don't bet. I've learned my lesson betting on and against teams that I want to win. So I probably like the Dallas side more, but objectively, Philadelphia is like a better coach team, and that matters a lot.
Oh yeah, I mean, here's a stat for you, Jason Garrett. Oh,
dude, just all the Dallas coaching stats are bad.
As a home favorite, Jason Garrett is 19-31-1. He 38% cover rate against the spread over a 50 plus game sample. So this is the time usually you want to bet against them. And then when no one trusts them and they blow, they're kind of like the Chargers almost. It's like when no one trusts them, they'll probably go on the road and like beat a better team.
Yeah, that's kind of what they do. Okay. My number one pick, listeners to the show, they already know what's happening. Arizona plus three against the New York Football Giants. I mean, Kyler being a dog to Daniel Jones is wrong, dude. I don't care how bad Arizona's defense is. I don't care the West to East. I just do not care. He is so much better than Daniel Jones is.
Would you have that opinion if they get rolled?
If Arizona gets rolled?
Yeah, like well, on like offensively, like let's say the Daniel Jones just like completely out, like they just outplay.
I think he will. I think this game is a good bet for the over. And yeah. I think that both are like, I actually have a much higher opinion of Daniel Jones now than I did 6 months ago.
Same.
I think that Kyler is already like the ninth best quarterback though. Like, and I think that they're one of these games, they're just going to run at expectation in terms of touchdowns. They have not yet met their touchdown, like a league average touchdown rate in any game. Even they scored 34 points last week, and Zane Gonzalez still had 4 field goal attempts, I think, which is like, it's just like, it's nuts how much they are not scoring touchdowns. So I think as long as Kyler is going to be getting points, I'm just going to keep taking them.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely all over him against the Falcons last week. I don't know how you don't take him as like that home dog. Like this one, I'm not like as confident as you. I think the line is a little more correct than we think, just because like Daniel Jones, like we've seen these really good flashes, and then he plays the Patriots defense and the Vikings defense and the Patriots defense, mostly without a lot of his top weapons, especially Saquon. So I just don't know. I don't have a good framework really to judge the viability of Jones compared to like the Cardinal defense. And then they have Patrick Peterson back. It's like, it's just all these factors that like probably when I'm not betting, I think if you do bet, you have to take the 3 points with Arizona, because I don't think there's like a clear separation between these teams to where you're just like weighing points with the Giants just because they're at home. But yeah, I'm a little less confident just cause like I don't really have anything to go off of for a lot of factors that I think are going to determine this game. But my number one pick is the pick you already mentioned, and that's how confident I am in it. I'm going with the Chargers +2.5, +2 if you can only get it there. But you know, again, I think this is just a case of the market misvaluing a bunch of teams, and everyone is like, you know, hey, look at them, look how badly they played. Like the whole point of betting is, like you said, you want to get ahead of what's going to happen next. It doesn't matter what already happened and how a team is playing. Like if the Chargers have these games every year where they just blow games. Every team does, really, unless you're the Patriots or like the one or two other good teams of like the Saints haven't really done it in a while. You're going to blow a couple of games that are just like completely, it makes you just scratch your head. And the Chargers have done that twice in a row. I think both times you could point to things that kind of gave you red flags. Like in the Pittsburgh game, the Chargers O-line, the defensive front was completely overmatched, the Chargers O-line for Pittsburgh. And in the Denver game, it's, you know, the Chargers, you know, a game they should win against a team that's desperate for their first win and just gave up a bunch of yards on the ground, and like they change everything up. So, you know, Tennessee, they just don't have it to me. Like you said, like,
they just don't, they suck, dude. They're just a bad team.
It's because they're bad at passing. That's really the thing. Cause it's like, yeah, don't get me wrong, their defense is fine. Like their defense right now is actually playing better than the Chargers. I'll give them that. It's fine. It's the fact that passing, you pass on 2/3 of your plays. So like when you have, and if you get down, you have to pass to get back in it. So if you can't pass, it just exacerbates and all the other issues you have, and it minimizes your advantages in any other area. And so, yeah, like that's really the thing. They're 31st in early down pass success rate. Ryan Tannehill had a worse QBR in his little time in the game than Mariota did last week. And the one issue with, you know, the big issue with Mariota is under pressure, he's gonna take a lot of sacks. The quarterbacks, it doesn't matter, your offensive line bad or good, you're gonna get pressure on a certain number of dropbacks. Mariota took sacks on 35% of those. Last year he led the league at 29%. You know who was number two? Ryan Tannehill. So, you know, both of their tackles aren't playing well right now, Llewellyn and Conklin. And you know what's going to happen when Joey Bosa and those guys, like when they come off the edge, it's gonna be the same deal. So yeah, I feel good about the Chargers again, 21-6, coming off and against the spread loss when they go on the road and are an underdog. This is the time you want to buy in.
Yeah, these are it's just simple. Like this is, it's just I wish every week I wish they could all be like this, where it's just like, oh, the better team's getting points against an awful team with a quarterback controversy. Like, okay.
Are we really betting against Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Hunter Henry, you know, all those guys on, you know, against a team that doesn't even know which is their better quarterback? Like, really? Just because they're on the road and they have no home field advantage? Like, really? That's what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go, man. That's going to do it.
I like it, man. I think we're going to go 10-0, and your listeners are going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, to get that money. All right, tell people about what you have going on over at Labs and Action Network, bro.
Yeah, so actionnetwork.com, that's where my betting content comes out. I'm usually writing up mismatches for at least three, usually four of the games, my favorite picks of the week. That's actionnetwork.com/NFL. And then on fantasylabs.com, doing all of the DFS breakdowns, so the main slate and all of the showdown slates Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And you can also catch me on SiriusXM Fantasy Radio from 10 to 11 Wednesday through Friday, and on Twitter at Chris Raybon.
Yeah, there we go. All right, that's going to do it for us this week, boys, and good luck.